welcome to the University of Coruscant. As part of your enrollment here, you have access to the attached Holonet recording. You've selected a lecture by Dr. Sunny Ravencourt on bounty hunters. You've selected a lecture by Dr. Sunny Ravencourt on Aura Singh. If you have any questions about this lecture or wish to contact us, please visit universityofcoruscant.com.
Hello, students. As you can hear, still not back on Coruscant. My TA Ted and I are out here just exploring the galaxy like a couple Outer Rim scoundrels. Unfortunately, it's not entirely a voluntary idea, as I still have that bounty on me from my Bothan associate. The good news is that for every lecture like this that I send back to the University of Coruscant, they deposit a paycheck into my account. I'm thinking that it's only going to be a few more conversations about famous bounty hunters and we're going to be set. Pay off the bounty, return like a hero to the newly rebuilt Grand Lecture Hall at the university. I don't really want to think about how much some of those renovations must have cost, and I really don't want to relive all those probe droids going off either. I unfortunately heard they were using the footage for safety classes galaxy-wide. Nice to know I'll be getting some decent screen time again, though. So if you can hear the background, we're on a planet. It's pretty dry. Poor Ted can't catch a break on these climates. It's gotta be tough to be a traveling Mon Calamari. Ted and I started a fire with some wood that he collected. I really wish I could tell you more specifics, but we were traveling by refugee transport and didn't actually have a destination. So I gotta be honest with you, when we landed, the crew just kinda shoved us off, pointing at a building. Turns out we were supposed to use the refreshers there and then get back onto the ship, but something came up and we got distracted.
You were beat unconscious by a Gamorrean, sir.
Yes, Ted, I know. We had no choice in the matter. He challenged my honor by calling me a has-been.
He didn't recognize you, sir.
That's the problem. He might as well have said it to my face.
And it's Todd, sir.
Look, I'm not going to argue with you. Go get some more firewood. This planet is creepy, the ground is all dry, and there's massive gouges in it. And there's canyons all over the place. I've never seen this planet before. We have no idea where in the galaxy it is. Let me just start this lecture and get it over with. The more I put together lectures on famous bounty hunters, the more I'm seeing a pattern unfolding. It's not the case with all of them, but there is definitely a fair number of tragic stories to be told here. Some of these individuals I only knew as psychotic murderers or heartless contract kidnappers, but when I peel back the layers of the Jogan fruit, I start to empathize. Very few people begin their lives with no compassion. It almost always takes some sort of important and heartbreaking event. But as is the case with nearly all of them, once it happens, you cannot unring that bell. I give you Aura Singh. Born in the slums of Nar Shaddaa sometime around 51 BBY, Aura Singh was the daughter of a spice addict mother and a father she never knew, so, I mean, we're already off to a really tough start here. She was a Paladuvan, which is a humanoid race. She had chalk-white skin and incredibly long fingers, twice the length of a normal human finger. I don't really know why that adaptation caught on with Paladuvan genetics, but it sure does make you look twice when you see them. They are really jarring. I can't stop looking at my little fingers just thinking about that. Her form was thin and a bit lanky, but make no mistake, she could move with an athlete's grace. Her eyes had an unmistakable black shadow around them, which was particularly stark against her white skin, but the most iconic thing about her, in my opinion, was added after she was born. A lot of Singh's biography, like so many of these bounty hunters, is clouded. Remember, these guys went off the grid for great periods of time in order to be successful. And the more information that an enemy can acquire on you, well, the more they can use it against you. What we do know about Singh is that her time on Nar Shaddaa was brief. I'm sure you remember Nar Shaddaa from previous lectures. It is a tough place to grow up and an easy place to fall in with a bad crowd. Ironically, the exact opposite happened. She was picked up by the Jedi Order for showing signs of Force sensitivity. Singh was hyper-aggressive, as you would expect, from a street urchin trying to survive in a corrupted world. the Jedi made what I would consider to be a pretty significant mistake and decided that the best teacher of this little work in progress would be a secretive Jedi master named the Dark Woman. Seriously, does that seem like a good idea to you? The Dark Woman's actual name was Anya Kuro, but she gave it up when she dedicated herself to the Force. And, I mean, I can only laugh about this. You're taking a problem child and handing her over to the Dark Woman and hoping for the best. I mean, what are you doing? Well, as you could have expected, things did not turn out. I mean, Aurra Sing would be the last Padawan the Dark Woman ever even attempted to teach. It was a total failure. Sing never progressed beyond Padawan, and it's pretty unclear exactly how Force-sensitive she even was. Things get really fuzzy here for a few years, but it's rumored that she gets captured by Senex pirates on Ord Nemert, who really warp her views of the Jedi. I imagine she was pretty susceptible to influence regarding the failures of the Jedi after her experience as a Padawan. So now she's being raised as a pirate and learning new skills. Then, she's captured by the Hutts, who lend her to a group of Anzadi assassins, and she really rounds out her bag of tricks. Remember when I talked about the iconic thing about her that comes later? Well, this is it. She's implanted with a Ren Orm biocomputer, which has a long antenna which sticks right out of the top left side of her bald white skull. It is unmistakably Aurra Sing. I've never in all my years seen anything like it. With her long ponytail on the back of her head, her blinding white skin, black shadowed eyes, and now an antenna on the top of her forehead, she is the definition of intimidation, which I imagine suited her just fine. In the world of bounty hunting, intimidation goes a long ways. What we do know 100% for sure is that she was at a very famous pod race. The Boonta Eve Classic, which would have been, that would be 32 years before the Battle of Yavin. They run that pod race on Tatooine every single year. Except this year, there was a human child competing. Humans are not normally pod racers, because pod racers are like swoop racers on spice. They are insanely fast. But if you happen to be one of the most talented Force users of all time, well, you can hang. That human was a preteen Anakin Skywalker who won the whole thing, by the way. But back to Aurra Sing. She's at that race. The question is why? A police inspector caught some holo footage of her collecting credits from Jabba the Hutt relatively close to the crash site of one of the competitors, Neeva Key. Anyways, this bounty hunter is really hard to pin down, so the thought of her pulling a job in the same place that Anakin Skywalker won a historic pod race and took his first steps towards Jedihood, well, that's just too good a story to pass up. One of Sing's defining traits was her hatred of the Jedi. Now, this undoubtedly came from her failed training at the hands of the Dark Woman. Whenever Sing got a chance, she happily jumped at the opportunity to work against them, and she had a lot of opportunities. Sing's unknown father is rumored to have been some sort of species with a particularly long lifespan, because she just seems to be around everywhere for a very long time. She was rumored to have had a quasi-romantic relationship with the pirate Hondo Inaka. She was an associate of Jango Fett, who would later be the model for the entire clone army. She took work from Separatist leader Count Dooku. She helped mentor a young Boba Fett after the loss of his father Jango. I mean, she was everywhere and would seemingly do anything. Some bounty hunters have a code. Boba Fett had a code. When Fett was a kid, he worked with Aurra Sing, and she was somewhat of a mentor. But there are numerous examples where Sing told a young Fett to do a few things, like, say, kill a couple loose ends on a job, and Fett wouldn't do it. Sing did not seem to possess such limitations, and she immediately took care of business when business had to be taken care of. If you remember anything about my lecture today, it's this. Aurra Sing was ruthless. She had no restrictions. If she showed affection for others, it would be overruled by a sense of survival, and she would 100% kill you if it furthered her ends. She was a true killer in every sense of the word. Aurra Sing was also a tremendous sniper. Maybe it was those fingers, but when she wasn't double-wielding blaster pistols, which, by the way, had two triggers on each blaster, super cool and unique, she would use a Zerka Adventurer, which is a long-barreled slug thrower, and she was deadly with it. A lot of assassins have hang-ups about sniper rifles. They think it's too amateur or unprofessional, and they prefer to get close. Remember, Aura Singh had zero limitations to her game. She would do anything to get the job done, and she did not care what anybody thought. Singh very nearly pulled off one of the most famous sniper shots in history when she lined up a senator from Naboo by the name of Padme Amidala. Now, anybody who knows anything about the Galactic Republic era will recognize that name. And it was only with the intervention of a young Jedi by the name of Ahsoka Tano that Amidala suffered a grazing wound instead of a giant hole in her head. Here's another major characteristic about Singh that was different from many famous hunters. She was willing to work in a team. Because of her talents as a sniper, she was hired to perform as a teammate for a lot of jobs. Now, let's be real. Teammate is a tough sell for anyone who has reached the heights of killing and capturing that she had. But if you can manage to entice these kind of killers to work together for long enough just to get the job done, well, it never hurts to have an elite sniper watching from above. She was galaxy-wide recognized as one of the best of the best. Now, things go a little bit sideways in history here. There's a very popular rumor that happens a couple years before the Battle of Yavin. An Outer Rim smuggler by the name of Tobias Beckett had been building a reputation, and Singh hadn't been heard from in a few years. Tobias Beckett started answering that question by saying that he had killed her. Famously, he actually liked to say that he pushed her and that it was the fall that probably killed her. The problem is that Beckett found his end not very long after this rumor started, getting shot on a smuggling deal gone bad by another smuggler who presumably shot first. Quick tip, always shoot first. But Aura's not done, apparently. Remember that longevity thing that she might have inherited from her father? Well, she pops up in testimonials a bunch more times, almost always hunting Jedi, too. Even at the Battle of Hoth, she was like a Jedi ghost story, and even shows up as late as 40 ABY. That's nearly 70 years after we first saw her. Now, who knows if this is actually her, but the point is that she was so feared that people seemed to see her and her chalk-white skin everywhere. That's the level of impact that she had on the galaxy when she was working. And I'll tell you this, as a fan of history, if you have the Jedi Order looking over their shoulder when they go into dark alleys, then you have reached the top of the bounty hunter and assassin game. Aura Singh was one of the legends, and if you ever saw her, well, it was probably too late. Tom, have you noticed that there are a lot of bones around here, but no predators?
Yes, I have.
That doesn't seem like a good sign.
No, it does not, sir.
So, what do you think the odds are that we get eaten as soon as this fire goes out?
They're high, sir. Very high.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. It looks like you're going to want to make firewood gathering an additional major for your degree here. Remind me to apply for those credits when we get back to Coruscant. In the meantime, I mean, that major's not going to earn itself, so you better get to it. You're doing great and all that stuff. More wood on the fire. I'm sure he's gonna be fine. That thing probably doesn't even like fish.
This concludes your selected lecture from the University of Coruscant. For all questions or to contact us, please visit universityofcoruscant.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Sunny Ravencourt and the legal droids behind me. No, I'm not gonna say your names. They want me to remind you that if you've enjoyed this show, please subscribe on iTunes and YouTube and leave a review or a comment. It helps us out tremendously, and it allows the university to continue to provide you the best in Star Wars history. Are you going to pay me for another take? Well, then I'm not going to do one.
Hey Star Wars fans, this is Alex from Imperial Entanglements, here to remind you that this is the place where you want to be for Star Wars content.
That is true, Alex, and just to prove it, here is my best Gamorrean guard imitation. maybe not.
That's funny.
and we're here to tell you,
if you like Star Wars, and I think you do,
are you itching for new Star Wars content?
Join us. It is your destiny.
And we're here to remind you that you're listening to
The Scariff Podcast, a Star Wars podcast with a lemony twist.
He's not wrong.
So grab your sunscreen and your blasters, because it's always sunny on Scariff.
How freaking cool is that?
Insert sound effect here.
Roll it again.
And that's the Scuttlebutt.